I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Butch, it's Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Melody. I hope you enjoyed the last few days of summer, because they're going by fast.
Boy, this certainly is. And, I just got this little fella that's... I call people on my direct line, and sometimes they call me back on that number, and so I'm not going to answer it. Just going to...
Well, so, go ahead. I'll hang in a minute. Well, if you want to take the phone, I'll take care of it for a minute. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. That's fine. They'll call back, I think. All right. There we go. Distractions. See, we even have distractions here on this program, don't we, Butch?
Oh, we certainly do. Usually each other, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, you know, we have gold today. Had a tremendous day. We have gold up $16.20 at $1,545, closer to $46. Silver was up 66 cents today. A great showing. Finally, gold, silver is finally beginning to catch up with gold. $19.20. Up 66 cents. Yep. Good day. Good day. Platinum was up $24 at $958. That was still a great buy, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you know, platinum is going to retake its position over gold. It's just a matter of time. And I know a lot of you's got a little, you know, disheartened because, you know, perhaps platinum was just, you know, being stinky and not doing what it was supposed to do. But it's going to catch up. Palladium was up $3 at $15.46. So, without any additional commentary, let me go through that once more. Gold was up $16.20 at $1,545. Silver was up 66 cents at $19.20. Platinum was up 24, 958, and palladium was up 3 at $1,546. The USDX today, it was much stronger earlier in the day here in late trading. It had a little bit of a reversal, not much, 0.06 at 98.97. So it was over 99, and crude oil was down 1.11. And the paper markets today, let's go ahead and bring those up. It was triple digits down. Came back a little bit. It was like, you know, 350 to the downside. Now it's 285, down a little over 1% at 26,118. The NASDAQ was down 88 points at 7,872. And the S&P was down 20 at 2,906. 10-year yield, 1.47%. You know, Japan was the only market that was up by 1.5% overnight. And, the news just doesn't seem to bother anybody. They get a little fear in them, but, it's just like, hey, you know, things are going to be good and so forth. The dollar, as I mentioned, had strengthened before it pulled back a little bit. It was the highest level in more than 2 years. And, of course, this is all based on trade worries. Those worries are continuing to persist. And the U.S. factory activity entered contraction territory for the first time since February of 2016. Now, you have these new tariffs on Chinese goods that went into effect over the weekend. And, here we go, this up and down, you talk about a roller coaster with this trade in the markets. And people are beginning to lose faith that these two largest economies are going to, it's going to be a little bit longer for them to reach a resolution. U.S. manufacturing, as I mentioned, shrank in August for the first time in 3.5 years. This is according to the Institute for Supply Management. Again, the optimism, is pretty much hoping that the help to weather the storm, no pun intended, we're going to be talking about Dorian here, but everybody's looking towards the Fed for help. So, we had European shares. They fell for the first time in 4 sessions today. And, of course, that's all due to the uncertainty over that looming no-deal Brexit. And, the trade tensions. Let's see. The dollar, I told you it got stronger. It was the highest level since May of 2017. And the 10-year yield was at its lowest since July of 2016. So, it seems like we're heading backwards instead of forward, but, you know, it's really, you know, it's government's fault. It's no one in particular's fault. It's what they have done over the years, and it's just not the past 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 8 years, or 20 years. It's a much longer time frame that this, you know, we've been on this ride, so to speak, and it's, you know, it started out maybe calm, and everybody was making money. The bankers made money. They gave a little bit to you guys in the way of your pensions and retirements and so forth. Gave you a lot of promises. But now, I think everybody's heading for the hills. You have these big, these corporate heads are selling their shares every day. You know, it's the biggest pump and dump scheme in the world. And, you know, they have all the mainstream media telling, you know, the little guy out there who's working hard for his retirement account to get out there and buy on the dips. It's a buying opportunity while they're dumping theirs. And the sad part is people listen because we haven't been taught anything about money.
True.
People don't know anything about money. They don't understand money.
They don't know what money is.
They don't know what money is. And, you know, they've, you know, they put us in positions where everybody hurts so much that they're, you know, it's just like going to Vegas. When I lived in Phoenix, Butch, I can't tell you, you know, you'd talk to friends and so forth. Oh, we're going to go to Vegas this weekend and hopefully we can triple our money because rent's due. This is when I was really young. This is when I was really young, you know, my, you know, late teens, early 20s and so forth. And that's, you know, they would go to Vegas, but that's what the stock market is. And people hope that they get, you know, this big payoff in the end. And the sad thing is, you're hoping for that big payoff in the end. What's the end? When you retire. How old are you when you retire? You can't recoup it.
No, you can't.
You know, I mean, it's one thing when you're in your 30s and 40s. You can, you know, at least you have an opportunity. But you get past a certain age, ladies and gentlemen, after 60, you're never going to get it back. And that's the sad truth of it. And, you know, it's, I was thinking this weekend, Butch, it always seems like we're always so negative, always so, you know, things are so depressing and we're always down. Isn't there any good news out there? Isn't, you know, well, gold and silver is the good news. That's a positive thing because you have something to do to preserve your purchasing power, to weather you through these difficult times. And debt is going to matter. It really is that simple. And they can continue doing, they can print, but the day of reckoning is coming.
Absolutely.
And, you know, now that everything is back, you know, the holiday is over. We don't have another holiday until Lord knows when. When? Thanksgiving?
Yep, that's
you know.
True.
You know, I think there's a little one in there, you know, I don't know if it's Veterans Day or something in there. There might be another 3 day, but so September is the most volatile month in trading. Even though you've had the biggest drops in October, September, August and September on record are the most volatile. So anyway, good day for gold and silver, Butch. And
yeah, I'll ask you a question about that too. By the way, silver or gold and silver both have went through the roof. I mean, really, silver is 14 something about 3 months ago. Now it's 19 something. Gold was 12.50. Now it's 15.50, and people are still not buying. I don't get it. I don't get it. But generally, when the dollar is up and strong, gold goes down. It hasn't worked
that's
that
right.
way the last little while.
That's correct.
You think maybe gold broke through and will keep on climbing?
You know, I say that because I believe that. But I also know the markets, and I also know their ability, for whatever reason, for it to pull back. But that shouldn't dishearten anybody. That's
no.
why we always have to look further out when it comes to gold and silver. Gold and silver is not a short-term investment. And so, no, I think we're past beyond going back. I think this is it. There's just, but what happens if they actually came out and said, hey, we got a trade agreement with China? It'll be a quick knee-jerk reaction, but then we're going to be back on track. So, you know, anything could happen, anything weird can happen. You know, again, as we say, it's not what they do, it's what they say. And I think, but the markets are beginning to catch on to that, I think, eventually. So expect very volatile times. But, yeah, Butch, I can't even imagine us going back.
You know, I haven't been able to buy a lot of gold and silver lately. You know, when I do, I get it from you. But I'm watching it go up, Melody, since I bought it, you know, the last 3 or 4 months. I'm watching the value increase. And I always like silver eagles. I've always given those for birthdays, gifts to my grandchildren. And I still do. They went from 17, 18 bucks up to about 22. I mean, they're going up also. Folks, honest to goodness, invest in something tangible that you can keep. It's not paper. It's not a digital computer. Think about it. I know if you're not wealthy, and I know a lot of you aren't, 10 silver dollars is better than nothing. It's better than keeping a couple hundred dollars in your pocket. I'll tell you that right now, that's going to depreciate every day. And inflation eats up your dollar. That's all I can say. And if people don't prepare, I don't want to tell them anymore, Melody. I've told them everything I can tell them, and you have too for years. It's made a difference in my life by the grace of God. I mean by His grace and by His wisdom scripturally and by wisdom of the founding fathers in the writings of our Constitution of how to coin money. And people like you and others and Bob Chapman and others have taught me some things that really have paid off for Marsha, Gene, and I. If I hadn't listened to you folks, it'd been tough. Thank you, Melody, for helping me out all these years.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you very much. You're welcome. I shouldn't say thank you. It's a good welcome.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. It truly does. And that's why I feel good coming on the program with you, because I believe in what you're doing. And I believe in you because I trust in you. I trust you. I absolutely trust you. I'm not worried about anything that you never harm anybody on purpose. I know that. You're totally above board with all your dealings. And I can't say that about other people I've dealt with, but I can you.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what you're talking about is that security and that safety. I can remember, and this goes back quite a few years, and I use her example several times on this program. She borrowed a large amount of gold, and she called me up, and she said, you know, Melody, she says, I really didn't get it. She says, everybody told me to buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. So she broke down, and she bought gold. And again, she bought a significant amount of it. And she said, but you know what? She says, I get it now. She says, when I received that gold and I put it in my safe, she said, all my worries sort of disappeared, my financial worries. She says, I felt safe and secure. She says, I didn't look at markets anymore. She says, I didn't care what the markets did.
There you go.
She says, I understood then what my purchasing. She says, I understood what money is. She understood what something real is. She says, it really changed. And again, she didn't get those ideas until she actually took physical delivery of that gold. And you know, she's been a buyer of gold since then. This goes back to, of course, the Great Recession. The Great Recession did put a lot of focus on gold and silver. And it's going to again. But people didn't buy gold as it was moving up in the, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800. They didn't start buying gold until the market started to crash.
It's true.
And that's that. But we saw gold going up. We saw gold going up. We saw the, you know, going up with the stock market and so forth. And it was just like, well, this doesn't make sense because we know all of this home stuff is going to happen and, you know, so forth. And gold usually works in the opposite of the. But this is where we are today. Gold is doing what it does. Silver is doing what it does, what it's supposed to do. And you're
it just lies quietly there and appreciates. It grows every day. It isn't bouncing around up and down like a yo-yo in some market in paper. It's a tangible asset that you can get your hands on that is valuable. And when you see it, Melody, when you look at it, you know it is just by looking at it. You don't be told. You look at a dollar bill and lay a silver dollar down beside it and tell me which one you would choose.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is, now you have all these financial planners and analysts and so forth. What they're going to do is they're going to, you know, people are going to start inquiring about gold, and they're going to pitch them stocks, miners. They're going to pitch them ETFs. You know, they're going to pitch them, you know, maybe some sort of a fund that has gold in it and so forth. But it's still paper, ladies and gentlemen. You're still getting it. It's a great diversification if you have physical gold, but don't think those paper instruments is gold. It's paper.
It is
promises.
Paper.
It's based on management. It's based on a lot of things. And these brokerage houses, you know, people talk about these big attacks with the systems and the power grids are going to go down and so forth and whatnot. These are the same people that buy gold and silver, but yet then they go in and buy paper online. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, if you think you're going to have, you know, this big destruction coming our way in the computers and everything else, why would you want to own paper? Try to get your money out of these brokerage houses when everything goes belly up. Try to make those phone calls and you're wanting to sell and they don't answer their phones.
Very true.
It's real easy not to answer your phone. And then you're stuck. So one minute, whatever you have is priced at one level. By the time you get through, you could lose 70% of it, 50% of it, just like that.
Or more.
So that's the problem with owning paper.
If it's not in your hand, it's a promissory note. And a promissory note are as good as a paper written on.
Oh, Melody, well, I do my own trading online so I can get in there right away and sell. Really? You have to prove. And how many times have people, I know they call me and say, Melody, I didn't get my email from you. Check your spam. Oh, there it is. So how secure are you going to be when you're telling your computer to do something and you're thinking that it's gotten done? Maybe it didn't. How do you know? So there's a lot of issues, you know. So just be careful, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot to talk about, so we're going to continue. But one other thing that's going on, trade deficits, they're growing.
Oh, yes.
And it's just not China. The deficit has increased with most of our other major trade partners, too.
Worldwide, actually, yes.
Yes.
The only two haven't grown, I think, is India and South Korea. Every nation we trade with has grown. That's China, European Union, that's everywhere. I mean, it's just Mexico, big time difference there with Mexico. So, yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah, it's growing everywhere. And, everybody tries to explain that the deficit spike with China is a short-term sacrifice. Are we in a position, though, that these short-term sacrifices, who thinks that it's going to turn around? What's it going to do while we're sacrificing? So, you have the tax cuts. You can blame those for the increase in the trade deficit as anything else. This comes from Axios Markets editor Dion Rabunin, Rubin, I guess. It gives more money in Americans' pockets, and that leads to more consumption. And, of course, that's all the Chinese trinkets. We don't make anything here in this country. No, tell me it isn't so.
It is.
No, it isn't. I didn't let you talk at all.
Well, that was easy segment for me. I just said hi and shut up.
I'll let you do all the talking from now on. I'm glad you didn't give a little joke there, so thank you. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter. A little one went out yesterday, mainly with the market report, a little article by Dave. And so I worked this weekend, Butch, but because I didn't know what this week was going to hold with Hurricane Dorian.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, that's according to who you listen to. Apparently, it's the hardest storm that ever hit the Bahamas ever in history, at least recorded history. And winds up 220 miles an hour. Melody, I never heard that high before on a hurricane. I've heard 160, 180. But 220 miles per hour winds?
I know.
That's remarkable. I mean, your mind can't grasp that. That'd blow a house over like a bunch of matchsticks.
Yes, it would. Particularly, I don't know how they build homes in the Bahamas, but, you know.
Well, they're not too well built from what I've seen on the news, but I think it's like 13,000 homes been destroyed already. And that really is sad, because I'm sure those folks are not rolling in dough. And, you know, it's just sad to see that with anyone. I don't care whether it's here in the United States or Bahamas or Japan or where it is. People who are living from paycheck to paycheck, you hit like this, it has to hurt. And a lot of these underdeveloped countries don't even have insurance or anything to back them up when, you know, they can't afford it. So I would ask everybody to keep the people in prayer in the Bahamas, and of course all along the East Coast. But the Bahamas got hammered this time, big time hammered. And it seems like the storms are increasing. I'll say this and move on. You know, I read the Farmer's Almanac every year. I go into it and I look what the weather's going to be for the next year. Now this amazes me. The Farmer's Almanac can call weather so well. I don't know that it's ever been wrong to speak of since I've been reading it for years. They said it's going to be a very wet spring this spring, the East Coast, and it was. It's going to be a very hot and dry summer, and it has been. They said January and February will be two extremely cold months, especially the last part of January and then February will be two extremely cold months. So if they call that right, folks, you better stock up on heating oil or propane or, like I do, wooden coal, because it's going to get cold. But so the weather is different, and they had the first day in Denver, Colorado, in history, recorded history, of a 100-degree day in September. So the weather is extreme, and no, it's not because of carbon monoxide. It's not. No, though, that's but nonetheless, it is extreme, and we know man played with it also. But I do feel for the folks in the Bahamas. I want to say that I really do. Anyone in these storms past, I feel sorry for them. I truly, truly do.
Well, you know, they really can't tell us the truth of why we're having these major changes in the weather, because no. It probably would freak us out. And, you know, whether you can say they're man-made or whether you can say it's just, I think things are changing for whatever reasons. I think it's multiple reasons. It's just not, you know, cows.
Well, you don't know. I don't think cows. No.
You know, it's so if I become a vegan, that's not going to help. And I think the real story is, if they really told us the truth, that people can accept man-made issues, man-made problems. People can accept that, and so forth. But hey, they have to come up with a reason why we're having these major changes in climate. And I think the real reason would scare most people.
Well, we also know this, and that people don't want to hear this, but it's judgment from Almighty God that does judge the world and the nation. That's just the way it is, folks. The earthquakes, all these things, famines, are part of the judgment. Like it or lump it, I didn't write the book. Just the way it is. Do you remember in your lifetime, as a young and especially, what they called straight winds? I never remember those anywhere growing up. Never, ever, ever. I remember a straight wind. But some years ago, we had one come through here, a derecho come through here. knocked up power off for 11 days and just ruined the forest that hit. Just looked like somebody took a scythe and cut grass, all fell in one direction. But I don't remember ever in the past my lifetime, except for one other time, of a straight wind. So these are a new phenomena that as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't know if they're new, but the thing of it is, when we were growing up, who watched the Weather Channel? There was no Weather Channel. Well, you know, your weather report was going out, waking up in the morning and looking out the window. That told you.
That's very true. But the devastation that I'm saying, I don't remember hearing it like this. Is just and hitting our area of space with the straight winds. I don't remember those ever, and I lived in the state all my life, so I don't know. I just bought
that. Well, I mean, that's true, but we were not as populated. These islands were not as populated at that point in time, so, you know, you didn't have the same devastation and so forth. And so many of these islands, I mean, what upsets me is you have all these cruise lines and so forth going to a lot of these islands, and yet the people who live there live in poverty.
True.
You know, you see the big docks, the big, where the ships dock, and, you know, you have all the resorts and everything, and, you know, let's see them give a little back to the communities that they make a great living off of, you know, and I'm sure some do, but it's terrible, and I can't even imagine being in that type of a storm for as long as they were in it.
And it's still being hammered. It hasn't come up completely left yet.
And we don't know where it's going, for sure.
No, we don't.
But you know what? You know, when I don't know if there's a lot of chatter out there about whether this was manipulated at all. But I'll tell you what. It's really interesting, because when this storm first started coming, all you heard from the Weather Channel was how this one front was coming down and it was going to steer it, you know, across Florida and so forth. I mean, they were pretty dog sure on that.
Yes, they were.
But then all of a sudden, supposedly this other front comes out of nowhere. And I'm thinking, when they were reporting on the one front, they would have already known about this other front. And now they're not barely talking about these fronts now. I don't know. I just found it a little interesting.
It is interesting. It truly is.
You know, so I'm thinking, you know, heaven forbid, you know, you don't want to hit Miami Row, you know, the Billionaires Row and so forth. You know, some, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. Call me the conspiracy nut, but...
I tend to agree with you. I really do. I truly do. And I feel sorry for the ones that got hit with this and ones that still going to be hit with it. I just hope it didn't hit the East Coast so much, what they call it, up 7 foot of rain in some places. I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I'm hoping it doesn't go out and then come back, because, you know, I live close to the coast.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't like watching that. It makes me very nervous. So what's next?
Well, I don't know how to even say this. In California, a buzzing campaign idea gets a test run. This is Stockton, California. Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang wants to give cash to every American each month. Now, he's already doing this, folks, so pay attention. Susie Garza has never heard of Yang, but since February, she's been getting $500 a month from a nonprofit in Stockton, California, as a part of an experiment that offers something unusual in presidential politics, a trial run of a campaign promise highlighting the benefits and challenges in real time. Garza can spend the money ever she wants. She uses $150 of it to pay for a cell phone and another $100 to pay for off her dog's veterinary bills. She spends the rest on her two grandsons, and now she can afford to buy them birthday presents online and let them get the big bag of chips at 7-Eleven. Now listen to her statements, folks. This is why this is working. This is why people are buying into it, because we have sold ourselves out for freebies for years. I'm just telling you like it is. I've never been able to do that. I thought it was just the coolest thing. Yeah, communism, socialism, a cool thing, man. I'll get something for nothing here. But anyway, said Garza, who is unemployed and previously was addicted to drugs, though she'd been sober for 18 years following a stint in prison. I like it because I feel more independent. Independent because you're getting a government check or come on, people think. Like I'm in charge. I really have something that's my own. Melody Cedarstrom, that is so scary. This is UBI being experimented in California, and these people think it's a wonderful thing because they become more independent. It's cool, and I'm in charge, and I can really do something that I want to do. how long does it take to people realize that when somebody feeds you, clothes you, and houses you, you're not independent? You're owned. I mean,
Andrew Yang is a very dangerous man.
Yes, he is.
And because I'm going to go back, as I explained in this program many times, that I heard an interview with him, and he, when they were talking about the UBI, it wasn't conservative. People couldn't accept the universal basic income. They thought that was a negative. They thought socialism. They thought this. They thought that, and so forth. So he has the money to hire market researchers, and they went through tons, many, many different new titles to name this free of money. Finally, they get to, I don't know, I think it was called, I can't even remember because this was about a year ago when I first heard him in this interview. And, yeah, it was something patriotic.
Of course.
And it was accepted. Just like gun control. They call it gun safety. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's gun control. They fool you. They trick you. And when you told me about this woman saying how great it is, he's testing. This is market research. This is market research. And they will take that information that they gather and they'll turn it into a pitch for the rest of America. And it will be bought by many. It'll be bought by many. And that's what happens when you have too much wealth sometimes and it's just a small group of people. They use their money to basically, you know, they can do these things. And then they can change things. You know, everybody talks about George Soros. Well, what about Michael Bloomberg, what he does in these elections, how much money goes into the various – he doesn't need to be president of the United States to make an impact. He changes local politics, and that has more impact than your president. And that's what these people with wealth – look at Facebook. Look what they do. Look how they change people's opinions on all the news and so forth. But what's scary, Butch – and I don't know what the answer is, but now they're creating things to change the news, to go after.
Oh, yes.
To target reporters.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And would you believe that this goes along? You keep on talking. I'll find the article and share with you quickly on this, but go ahead.
And I didn't mean to shut off the discussion on the UBI. You know, I didn't mean to change the thing, but it's wrong to go after anyone. But have we become to the point where people, we don't want to think anymore? There's no critical thinkers out there? That we can't determine what's real and what's fake?
And we're willing to be told what we can say and can't say?
Yes.
I mean, the Washington Post bans employees from using social media to criticize sponsors. I mean, this is for real. And they're using CIA for web hosting on some of these things on Washington Post, and they're checking these things out. The CIA's involved. The new policy offers a simple loophole to corporations that wish to avoid criticism from the Post, as becoming a sponsor of the paper would quickly put an end to any unfavorable coverage. In other words, you become a sponsor, and our employees can't talk about you. Isn't that total ownership and control?
It's still up to the employee to decide whether they want to work there or not based on that.
But a lot of people, a lot of folks, Melanie, can't afford to quit a job.
Can't afford to quit a job, not in today's world.
So this is another way of a dictatorship, if you will. This is communism on a corporate level, which, by the way, that also is communism, folks. Corporations can be communist, and these are. But telling people that they can't even criticize a sponsor, they'll get fired. Wow. And also encourages the employees to snitch on one another and tell somebody else is doing it. So anyway, you go ahead. I just had to share that with you.
I know. Well, I'm glad you did. But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. And you know what, Butch? People really don't want to hear about what we're talking about today. They want to hear about how great the tariffs are going to be, and they want to hear about the great manufacturing that's going to be coming back into this country. They want to hear about how great our economy is, and instead of what we're really losing,
we're losing freedoms every day.
But those freedoms don't seem to matter anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. We're losing by government control, corporation control, everything. And listen, this article, The Mark of the Beast. Workers in Wisconsin where I got chip T-shirts celebrating new implants. Now, this is, folks, this is real. This is in employees at the Three Square Market in Rivers Falls, Wisconsin, celebrating wearing I got chip T-shirts after they were implanted with microchips by their bosses. The microchips are the size of a grain of rice, and they were embedded into the hands of employees for Three Square Market, a vending company that makes kiosks to dispense food and beverages. It was done supposedly for the purpose of convenience, of course. Employees' hands can now be read to verify their identity. People, listen to this. Three Square Market Chief Operating Officer Patrick McMullen dismisses any concern that microchipping is employees is akin to Big Brother. Duh. He told detractors to take your cell phone and throw it away to defend his invasive practice. Biohack Sweden produced the microchips, and they have thousands of people implanted with their technology throughout Europe. They hope to expand the businesses across the pond, and Three Square Market is happy to help them do so as the modern dystopia continues to take place. I scanned my hand and here's my driver's license information, Wesby said, holding up his phone to astonished reporters. Melanie Cedarstrom, this is absolute ownership. Absolute branding of the people. That is Bible. Wow. But nobody sees it.
No.
They don't see it. And that really bothers me if people can be that stupid. And I'm trying to be polite here, but that is stupid. Oh. If you fix this mess, I'd go fishing.
Can I come along? We'll let Todd fix it.
Hey, there you go. They would borrow a motorhome, go fishing. But anyway. And here's an article that was so right on, I want to try to share before the break, Ken. If the debt machine was turned off, the U.S. would immediately plunge into a horrifying depression. A new study shows this, of course. We already knew this. A new study has discovered that we are far more dependent on America's great debt creation machine than most of us would ever have dared to imagine. Today, debt is involved in most of our major transactions. In order to purchase a home, most of us go into debt. The same thing's true for most to buy a vehicle. Total credit card debt is well over $1 trillion. Total student debt is over $1.5 trillion. I got a little break. I'll finish it back. But yeah, right, debt is what makes this thing run, folks. Debt.
Debt. Promise. Debt. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. So many things are going on, and tomorrow I'm going to start with the specials and new programs coming out here. Things just, you know, time just got, we did a lot of catch up because we were off yesterday, and so we were busy here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading today. So tomorrow I'll be able to focus on a little bit more on bringing you specials from Gold Eagles to $20 gold pieces. I'm going to hunt out the best buys, the best ones that we'll be able to see a great gain in the future as we get into the more of a panic-driven market, because that's when they perform the best. So I'm really excited about that. And now that I know that we're not going to see prices drop significantly. I mean, we might see a little bit of pullback, but we're not going to. This person is relentless. But so I am going to answer it, so take over.
Okay, I'll finish the article, folks, because this is so important. Melody said this, you've heard this said on many different programs, that this whole economy, our economy, personal economies, our finances, are run on debt. You use a debt note. You don't have money, folks. You have a debt note, a Federal Reserve note. It's a debt note. You don't pay off bills. You pass debt to somebody else. I wish I had time getting that, but I don't. But on this article, corporate debt has more than doubled since the last financial crisis. State and local governments are absolutely drowning in debt, and unfunded pension liabilities, and the federal government is more than $22 trillion in debt. The Federal Reserve and the too-big-to-fail banks are the core of this insidious debt-based system, and it's been systematically destroying the bright future that our children and our grandchildren were supposed to have. But if we suddenly turn off America's great debt creation machine at this point, our entire economy system would totally collapse because we have become so dependent on it. Now, folks, that is a sad thing to say, but it's so true. Oh, my. And again, being a pastor, I just tell you what it says. Debt is not it's not good. Debt can be a sin. Oh, yeah, it can. Not only that, it makes you a slave to the one you borrowed the money from. It does. Debt, if we all were disciplined enough to not buy anything to repay cash for it, we may not have as much stuff, but we wouldn't have nearly as much debt. The pressure on us will not be so heavy, and the economy could change around to being a cash-based, if you would, economy. Now, but debt is a machine that keeps everything running, including your retirement checks from Social Security, your manufacturers that you work for. The money is not there, folks, to pay you. They're taken from the ones who are working now to pay you. That includes me and you, too, everybody. It is debt run. And I don't mean to make anybody feel discouraged, frustrated. It makes no difference. If you get angry over the truth, then all you're doing is hurting yourself. It doesn't change the truth. Truth doesn't flinch at all. Truth is truth. No matter whether you want to receive it or not, truth is still truth.
Debt is not normal. It's not, it's just not normal. You can't have an economy run on debt. The debt can't be the fuel.
It can't be sustained forever. It cannot be.
It can't be sustained. They can do it for a long time. They can create all kinds of these interesting financial programs, but it's just making the problem so much worse as you go deep. And it's no different if you take a family, or an individual who has debt and he goes out and continues to borrow. They used to make these loans. I used to work with a lady when I was at the bank. She'd have, I don't know, she'd have 3, 4, 5, 6 credit cards or something like that, 6 different loans and so forth. Then she'd go out and get one loan to pay off all those six loans that she was carrying, and it was easier for her to pay her one bill. She That's still true. Had the bill. Because then eventually what she would do, well, she got tired of making that one payment, she'd go out and get another credit card. And the next thing you know, she was right back where she was. And that's what her government is doing. And eventually, you file bankruptcy.
No discipline. No discipline.
No discipline. No accountability. And we've all gotten, well, many of us has gotten ourselves into a little predicament throughout our lives.
I have.
But we're not the government. We're not this country. We're not our economic, monetary system. But, you know, we're in this place. You know, people wanted trinkets. People wanted to grow. We're globalized. And that's not, you know, I get so sick and tired. There's this big push for global citizens. I'm a global citizen. Join our little club. I can remember Bill Clinton, I think, was one of the first ones who said he was a global citizen. And, of course, we all know Bush was the first one that came out and mentioned the words New World Order. But it's been going on even longer than that. That hasn't changed, Butch.
No, it hasn't.
This is still going on. And we're closer to it than ever before.
So. And you know, I just reading, too, another article. The 28 signs of economic doom as pivotal months of September begins now. I didn't go through all 28 of them. I just want to share a few of them. It says, since the end of the last recession, the outlook for the U.S. economy has never been as dire as it is right now. Everywhere you look, economic red flags are popping up, and the mainstream media is suddenly full of stories about the coming recession. After several years of relative economic stability, things appear to be changing dramatically for the U.S. economy and the global economy as a whole. Over and over again, we are seeing things happen that we have not witnessed since the last recession, and many analysts expect our troubles to accelerate as we head into the final months of 2019. Now, here's some of the things that's showing. The U.S. and China just slapped painful new tariffs on one another, thus escalating the trade war to an entirely new level. J.P. Morgan Chase is projecting that the trade war will cost the average U.S. household $1,000 a year. Yield curve inversions have preceded every single U.S. recession since the 1950s, and the fact that it has happened again is one of the big reasons why Wall Street is freaking out so much lately. We just witnessed the largest decline in U.S. consumer sentiment in 7 years, and mortgage defaults are rising at the fastest pace that we have seen since the last financial crisis. So there is something lined up here. There truly is. Something's come together, Melody. And all the signs point to it. We're not setting times or dates. That's the wrong thing to do. But obviously it's getting close, is it not?
Well, it is, and you're right. There's so many signs out there. I mean, it's just... You know, there's so many 2x4s floating through, you know, the sky. You know that, but you know what? This happens before every great recession. Everybody's in denial.
Sure.
And we're seeing the same thing. So it really is no different. I mean, heck, if you ask Larry Kudlow, we never even had a great recession of 2008. I mean, we were in the midst of it, and he was still saying, "Oh, well, you know, this is just normal." No, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't normal. They want you to think that it's normal, but it isn't. And we see cash out refinance volume. This is something that I saw today. It looks like, remember when people were using their homes as ATMs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Once again, Americans are tapping into their inflated home equity. And, with these home prices, people are leveraging record low rates courtesy of the Fed and are using their homes just like the ATMs. So,
you know, Melody, I know a lady, a very close friend, who had to get a second mortgage to do repairs on the house. They couldn't do it any other way. And she's hating it. Now she has another house payment all over again. Paid for it, now paying for it again because she needs the money to repair the house. That really is a sad thing, to pay for a home for 25, 30 years, then have to do repairs on it, can't afford to do it. You have to rehock your house, so to speak, to get the money out. That's really sad, and you're hitting it right on the head. People are doing it. They have to.
Yeah. Cash out refinances as a percentage of all refinances since 2012 It's at 81%. In 2006, it was 89%. So we're right back where we were. So again, and you know what? They bet on this. They count on this. They count on people doing the same thing over and over again. So when they tried to make us believe that they could actually control our booms and busts by using the the Federal Reserve to use interest rates to avoid booms and busts, they're crazy. Because they base it on people's behavior, and we do it to ourselves. they can't do anything. In fact, they just fuel it. They fuel our behavior. And because they know exactly what we're going to do.
That's very true. Very true. And this article, I've got to read this very quick because I want your opinion on this. A murderer's row. Oil and gas bankruptcies to accelerate as $137 billion debt matures over the next 2 years. Now you would think they'd be booming, but oil and gas companies are facing an onslaught of bankruptcies as the shale revolution appears to be coming to an unceremonious end, at least on Wall Street, according to the Wall Street Journal. Companies like Sanchez Energy, Halcon Resources Corporation, and 26 other oil and gas producers have all filed for bankruptcy this year, already matching 28 industry bankruptcies from all of 2018. The number is expected to rise as debt maturities for those looking to get to cash is on the shale revolution and make bets on higher oil prices years ago are now looming. I guess it makes sense, but I never would have thought that we have this many oil companies and gas companies going broke, bankrupt, because they invested on hoping prices go up and they didn't change that much. Now they're going under.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And why? Because they had too much debt.
Yeah, exactly.
They had too much debt. And they went to Las Vegas hoping that they'd be able to triple their money and pay it off. Well, they couldn't, and they didn't. They lost.
And more people flee New York City each day than any other U.S. city. 277 people a day are leaving New York City every day. I know it's about a million and a half in the state or in the city. Is that about right? Or two and a half? I don't remember. I don't remember what the number is.
I don't.
But they're losing
a lot.
Yeah, a lot. They're losing about 300 people a day out of that city. And of course Chicago is I think 100. Los Angeles, Chicago have also seen triple digits. 201 for one, 161 for the other. They're losing, but cities like Dallas, Phoenix, Tampa, Orlando, Atlanta, Las Vegas, Austin, all of them are growing. But New York City is losing more people every day. And I have to believe high prices there for homes and taxes. I'm sure that's part of it. People can't afford to live there. So it is what it is.
Well, I'm sure that's part of it too. But again, you look at these cities, these big cities, I don't care what anybody says, there's crime.
Oh, sure.
They're dangerous.
This is a sad note because it kind of hits me too, being a veteran. Military suicides top record despite government's best efforts. Around 7,300 veterans kill themselves every year, by 20 a day in this country. 7,300 veterans at least take their own lives in this country for different reasons. They're veterans of Afghanistan, of course, and Iraq, and Vietnam still does the same thing, believe it or not, all these years later. I don't have all the answers, Melody. I really don't. But I do know some guys that saw things I didn't get to see, and I didn't want to see, that I never did come back to the right mind. They bother them all their lives. Some of the things I saw still bothers me, but by the grace of God, I've come through a lot of it. Only in Him, and not in me. But a lot of them are on drugs. I mean, they're trying to keep their head together, but 7,300 or more kill themselves every year. That is so sad.
It truly is, and I it's very difficult. I can't imagine, as you said, them coming back trying to, from a different world.
You used to say we're going back to the world. That's when our time was up. We're going back to the world. It is a different world, and I won't even think about getting into it on the radio. But I can tell you things I've seen, but you don't want to hear them. But it's a different world. It's not like this. And they come back and try to readjust in a normal family life. That's hard to do. And when you have nightmares about it, and it still bothers you, that they start seeing psychiatrists and psychologists, they put them on drugs, that generally doesn't help. So it's just a sad situation all the way around. And then come back here, and then you face the challenge of trying to pay bills and rear a family. So that just adds more stress to it. This is, folks, I'm not making excuses for them killing themselves, but it's a sad situation.
And you know what? I wonder, too, you have someone in that position, and then you see, you watch mainstream media, you watch, you know, a lot on the computer and so forth, where you see where the veteran that comes back, and he gets lucky, you know, he gets involved, and he, I mean, that would kind of, well, you know, why is he doing so much better than me? And I would think, you know, it is a sad situation.
Well, being one myself and talking to several since I got out in 1971 and talked to many friends, I lost quite a few friends in Nam I went to school with, actually. Good guys. And that does bother me. They never had a chance to even live the life while I was spared. Only God knows. But it does bother you. And then again, you come back and you face what the country's become today. I've had veterans tell me, I didn't fight for the government to take away my guns and to murder my children, our unborn children. See, I didn't fight for that. I didn't go there to protect this nation, to do what it's doing. It really hurts them, doesn't me.
Well, what hurts me is we're out of time.
Yes, we are.
And that was a fast hour. I want to thank you for joining me, and I want to thank each and every listener for joining us today. So we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
That's too bad.